The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
John Cadell and Dee Reddy with us for our weekly music spot. And where will we start? Hey, let's start with Fontaines DC, because tell us about the tour it's going to embark upon.
Yeah, this is so, so exciting. So they've just announced details of a really, really huge UK and Ireland tour. It's going to kick off later this year. So they're going to play the Three Arena in Dublin on December 6th. And that's far and away their biggest show in Dublin to date. Really excitingly to see an Irish band play there is the Alexandra Palace in London, which they'll be playing on November 22nd. They're also going to have an opening night of the tour in the Halls venue in Wolverhampton on November 20th. They're going to do shows in Cardiff, Plymouth, Nottingham, Manchester, Leeds, Glasgow. So really, really incredibly large tour now for an Irish band. Fantastic to see.
And the new album is coming out in August, and this is the single from it for Starburster.
Hit me for the day, for the lie that you suffer to come by. Take to my sky, never wanting, only one day. To live out of reach, sloping family, short to talk, one to three, swallow the key. In their footprints, I will follow. I'm gonna hit your business if it's all with Terry Business. I'm gonna hit your business if it's all with Terry Business. I'm gonna hit your business if it's all with Terry Business.
So, John Cadell, could I suggest to you that if that album's coming out in August, would a good opportunity to launch it perhaps be provided by headlining one of the nights at the Electric Picnic?
I think there would definitely be a case for it, but I don't think they are what you might consider mainstream enough to headline one of the nights of Electric Picnic. I think they will definitely headline the Electric Arena, but I don't think...
Oh, I don't know if I agree with you now.
I don't know if the Picnic could be the right festival.
I think if you Saturday
Ali,
night.
If they're playing Ali Pally in London, like that venue is huge.
4,000. About 4,000. Stranglers played it in 1990. That's how I know.
Oh, isn't that? I was an LCD sound system there. Yeah, felt much bigger.
Now I'm sure I'll be corrected over the listeners' texts. But yeah. I think it's about 4,000 people.
Are you sure?
No.
No. Okay, great. But anyway, I don't agree with you. Like, I think, especially the fact that they'd be playing on home turf.
And all the tickets are sold. It's not like the organisers have to rely on pulling in a mega big name. As long as somebody like Fontaines DC could provide good entertainment, say on the Saturday night, on one of the main stages.
Not Saturday night.
But even listening to that track there, this feels like this album is going to take them to a whole other level again, like stratospheric. And it's produced by James Ford. He's produced for Arctic Monkeys, Foals, Depeche Mode. So... Mm.
You see, I'm suggesting this because we have a complete shortage of names as to the likely headliners at Electric Picnic. Apparently, it will finally be revealed on Friday.
Yeah.
I know you're putting your money on Stevie Nicks for the Sunday night.
I just have a massive hunch, and it's only a hunch.
There's no inside information. No,
No. And if I did have and I mentioned it, I would be
shot.
I would be, utterly vilified. No, I just have a hunch that Stevie Nicks is going to headline Sunday night.
I don't think we're going to get the full rundown on Friday. That's when they're going to start fleshing out start the announcements about it. But apparently, the head of Festival Republic, Melvin Benn, is waiting on confirmation of a major act. Personally, I'd be more Team Matt on this. Like, I'd see Fontaines DC being more likely than Stevie Nicks. I'd love to be wrong.
I was on the bus this morning and I was overhearing some schoolgirls talking about who they think will be headlining, and they were mentioning Reading and Leeds, Dua Lipa's headlining the previous week, and they were saying it's the same people who are on Electric Picnic, so maybe it'll be Dua Lipa. And then they were talking about if it was Lana Del Rey.
But hold on, would Dua Lipa be too big for Electric Picnic?
No, absolutely. No, Billie Eilish headlined it last year. Niall Horan headlined
it. And it
last
is in terms
year.
Of our, and the, it does often have crossovers with the lineups of Reading
So anybody who was on the bus going towards Mount Temple today about 20 past 8, I was listening to to your recommendations. And, you know, Dua Lipa could be a good shout. And Lana Del Rey could be a good shout. Because they say they moved the festival 2 weeks early to accommodate a massive female artist. So that could be Dua Lipa, and it could be Lana Del Rey, and it could be Stevie Nicks.
Hold on, are Daisy DC on the same weekend?
Yes,
they're famously not female, though.
The reason I'm asking that is Sunday night, is it AC/DC, or what night are they playing?
I think it's a Saturday.
Oh, the Saturday night.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, I'm just thinking the age demographics and stuff. Okay, right.
Because the dates are August 16th to 18th this year, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
So we'll find out on Friday anyway, Matt.
And all right.
I'm sure Dee will come in on her own on Friday to talk about the lineup, like she did about Taylor Swift. That's right.
He's in a huff because I brought you in on your own last Friday.
Oh, I know. I've heard. I heard about it last Friday too.
Really?
I did.
Actually, you're not on your own though in having your difficulties with the Taylor Swift album. Well, maybe that's an exaggeration. You didn't diss it because, as it happens...
Please don't tell people I dissed it.
You didn't, no, because those who've dissed it have had to do so anonymously.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is... I'm glad I was so fair in my review of it, as we all remember. Isn't that right, guys? No, but Paste Magazine on Friday published... very different to mine, an absolutely withering review of the Tortured Poets Department. And they didn't actually include a byline on the review due to how in 2019, when Paste reviewed Lover, the writer was sent threats of violence from listeners who disagreed with their review. Despite that, they have, fans have in fact tracked down a female writer who they thought was the person who's had to come out and say, I did not write this. It was not me. Please leave me alone. Which is, you know, whatever way you feel about Taylor Swift, and I have a lot of time for her, as I know you do as well, John, like, that is an absolutely nonsense way to be treating people just doing their job reviewing a piece of music.
But there is a coterie of Taylor Swift fans who are diehard and who will defend Taylor regardless, and they don't want to hear anything negative about her or her creativity or her show. So it's, you know.
Well, I mean, I think my favorite example of that, because it's in no way hurtful or dangerous to anyone, but it was when one of her albums, they accidentally on the digital copy released like a track that was 15 seconds of silence. The Taylor Swift fans in Canada made it go to number one in the charts for a day, just as a mark of love and respect to their Tay-Tay. Mm. That's funny to me, but tracking people down online or sending them threats of violence is just not on, you know?
Let's play a little bit of Taylor Swift. This is the track featuring Post Malone. This is Fortnite. So, John Cadell, given that you missed the opportunity on Friday to give us your instant review, you've had time now to listen to the Taylor Swift album. How much do you love it?
I haven't listened to it.
Ah, come on. You give it out to me that we weren't brought on to review it, and now you haven't even listened to it.
I put in the work, man. I listened to all 31 tracks.
If I'd been asked to appear in the show on Friday, which I wasn't, I would have made time to listen to it, Matt. Unfortunately, I'm very busy. I haven't listened to the Taylor Swift album yet. I've listened to Fortnite. That's about it. There are a number of albums vying for my limited attention.
Okay.
And anyway, then, like, 4 hours after she released it, she released another 15 songs. So, like, 31 songs, about 3 minutes each. Where am I going to get an hour and a bit?
You're a busy man, aren't you?
Yeah. Did you listen to it?
Not yet, no.
Oh, right. Okay. No, I will make the time to listen to it, because, you know, she reminds me she's as ubiquitous as Phil Collins was in the 80s. She's always around. She's always doing something. Like, Phil Collins was everywhere in the 80s.
Everywhere. He even had a partnership, or Genesis did, a partnership with Volkswagen for, like, a special Genesis branded car.
That's correct. And Taylor probably isn't that far behind. So, you know, like, she'll always be around. If you don't like this album, there'll be another one next month. So,
Of course, before she hit the top of the chart, something at 300 million streams so far.
In one day, yes. So that's a new record for Spotify streams.
But Hozier has topped the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Let's hear a little bit of Too Sweet.
Delighted for him.
It's class. Like, the last time an Irish artist hit number one in the US was 1990.
Sinead
O'Connor. And then the only two artists, other two artists, in fairness, U2 did it twice, I think.
Yeah, they did.
For Nothing Compares to You. No, sorry, for I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For, and With or Without You. And then there was Gilbert O'Sullivan as well.
Alone Again, naturally.
Naturally.
Deservingly number one, Billboard. But yeah, no, I'm absolutely thrilled for,
it's class.
For Hozier, because... The funny thing about this is he released this EP because they were, I'm not going to say leftovers from his last album, but they were songs that he felt didn't quite fit the mood of the album, Unreal on Earth. And for him to score a number one, he's probably as surprised as anybody. I mean, it's undoubtedly a great song. It's like...
And it's not just in the US. It's number one in Australia, New Zealand and Canada as well.
And the UK and Ireland.
Yeah,
so I'm thrilled for him.
A listener says... John, given that you come to work on the bus when you're going home on the bus, have listened to the Taylor Swift album.
Fair point.
Yeah, okay.
Instead of earwigging other people's conversations, listen to a bit of music on your
head. I was with my children. I couldn't put on my headphones because apparently it's rude.
But you won't be with them on the way home, no. So you can do
maybe
that.
Maybe if you listen to Taylor Swift, you have something to talk to the young girls about.
Well, that's creepy.
Okay. Before we talk about Eurovision, let's get picks of the week. John, you've got a very happy face to with this one.
I am. And I know you're going to smirk and you're going to throw your eyes up to heaven because A, it is a reissue and B, it is Def Leppard. But they're releasing a super deluxe edition of the 1983 album Pyromania. So there are the album itself remastered. And Giles Martin, incidentally, has overseen a Dolby Atmos 5.1 surround mix of Pyromania.
Knock me over with a feather.
On the Blu-ray. So, I mean, sonically, this album is astounding. It's Mutt Lange, of course.
Of course.
So to hear it in 5.1 Dolby Atmos, overseen by Giles Martin, you can tell how excited I am.
We can, yeah.
But it also has like a bunch of B-sides, and it has two live concerts from the time as well. But we're going to play a bit of Rock of Ages, and I love this song because every time I go and see Def Leppard, and that's a lot, every time they play it, it just sends shivers down my spine. The power behind this song and just the whole production, the melody is just incredible. So we're going to play a clip of Rock of Ages, and we're not going to cut it short. Sure or not, Matt?
Yes, we are. Yes, the air is moving differently in the studio now after all the punching of it.
Absolutely.
Just done by John Cadell. Well, there.
The world, let's be honest, the world is a dumpster fire right now. So why not just listen to some good time rock and roll? And as Def Leppard say, the Rock of Ages keeps rolling.
What's your pick, Dee?
A bit of a different one this week for me, Matt. It is Yanis and the Yaw. So Foals frontman Yanis is releasing the collaborative work that he made with the late great drummer Tony Allen that was recorded in Paris over 2 days back in 2016 alongside Tony's regular collaborators Vincent Tegger, Vincent Terrell and Ludovic Bruni. And it's really, really class. It's the EP, which will be coming out a little bit later on, is called Lagos, Paris, London. And then this is the first single from it called Walk Through Fire.
Let's move to a final thing. Stephen and Longford wants to know why Today FM has not been supporting the Irish Eurovision entry by playing it on the station.
Well, we can't play everything. It has got a few plays. Certainly Claire Beck has played it, but we can't put everything into high rotation, unfortunately. We just don't have the space.
Will you be playing it if it wins the Eurovision?
We'll have to see. I mean, I can't answer on the spot.
That's a fair enough question. Of course, it's going to the Eurovision.
Well, I suppose if we played you singing, we could probably make space for that because it's not going to be any worse, is it?
Oh, a bit harsh.
On who? Of course, there's about 400 artists, some well-known, others not so well-known, who've called him Bambi Thug to boycott Eurovision. Why would they when this was their big chance? And why has Erica Cody signed it, given that she participated in the same Eurosong contest at Bambi Thug 1?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to Erica Cody, like, you know, even before she took part in the contest, she hadn't ruled out boycotting the competition if she did get the position. So she had said at the time that we need to see the same energy that was given to Russia when they invaded Ukraine. It should be the exact same. So I think that probably does give her a little bit more leeway in terms of joining force with 400 artists to sign this open letter. Basically, they are saying that... So Bambi Thug appeared on The Late Late Show last week and they said that, you know, they stand with those who choose to boycott the contest, but that dropping out would mean less competition for Israel. And I think there's a lot of people in the Irish artistic community who are calling for everyone to show solidarity there.
What do you think, John?
I think Bambi Thug is the wrong target. I think this open letter should have been sent to the European Broadcast Society and or RTE. And as Dee mentioned before we came in, I mean, I'm not entirely sure that this should have been a public letter.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you on that, but I do think the letter was very well written. I wouldn't use the word target. I think, like, it's actually speaking artist to artist and just calling on someone to make a choice based on their belief system as opposed to an opportunity that's been presented.
Dee Reddy, John Cadell, as ever, thank you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.